Please open your Bibles to Romans 1, 1. You should have notes in your bulletin this morning. Why is the book of Romans so important? Romans 1, 1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Why is the book of Romans so incredibly important? There are a few teachers here this morning, and those of you who are teachers and all of us who have been school students understand when a teacher says to you, this is important, you probably know it's going to be on the test. It might even be on the final where the teacher says, this is important, you need to know this. And you know what's about to be said is really, really important. Why is the book of Romans so important? Because it is a thorough, complete, glorious explanation of the most important piece of information in the entire world, the gospel. The gospel. Romans is so important because, brothers and sisters, there is nothing more important than the gospel. When I was on sabbatical, I was thinking a lot about my job, and I realized that you can reduce my job to an irreducible minimum. You can summarize the job of senior pastor in one word, and that word is gospel. I do a lot of things as my job as senior pastor, but the one most important thing I do is to preach the gospel. It's why it made me so overwhelmingly happy when Michael Tyler presented to me those testimonies. Because my one job in your life is to make sure you know the gospel. Which is why those written testimonies are so important. If you haven't written a testimony, I'm so pleased to stand before you today and realize that the amount of you that haven't given me a written testimony is significantly smaller than when I left for my sabbatical. That is glorious. If you haven't given me your written testimony, please do so. Because I don't want to sit in my office and wonder whether or not you understand the gospel. I don't want to sit in my office and assume you understand the gospel. I want to have it in writing from you so I know that you know the gospel. This is important because it is the gospel. And the most important thing for any pastor to do is to thoroughly and completely explain the gospel. And that's what Romans is all about. You say, Pastor Dave, I already know the gospel. I'm a sinner. Christ died for me. I'm good. No. If that were the entire gospel, why is the New Testament 400 pages? If that were the entire gospel, why is the Old Testament 1,400 pages? If all you need to know is, I'm a sinner, Christ died for me. Why is the New Testament 400 pages? Why is Romans 16 chapters? Why is Galatians 6 chapters? Why does Paul have to write 13 letters? Why do we have 4 Gospels? You need to know the thorough, complete explanation of the Gospel in the entire book of Romans. Look at verse 16. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Why is the gospel the power of God? Why is it so important? For in it, the gospel, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. You know, if I went up to you and I said, I'm going to give you $1,000. No, I'm going to give you $2,000 from the Benevolent Fund. I walk up to you after church and I say, the elders have taught, we're giving you $2,000 from the Benevolent Fund. You'd be pretty happy about that, wouldn't you? You'd be very happy about that. But you wouldn't truly understand how great that is unless someone else had told you this. If you had gotten a notice that you were about to lose your house, you're behind on your mortgage payments, and your bank or whoever is about to call the sheriff or the police and they're going to take your house from you Monday morning unless you can come up with $2,000. Now I say to you, the elders have prayed, we're going to give you $2,000. You'd be really happy about that. You'd be even more happy if you had received this notice. The bank is going to take your house away unless you come up with $2,000 by Monday. But if you come up with $2,000 by Monday, you're free and clear. And then I come up to you and say, the elders have prayed, we're going to give you $2,000. You would be very, very happy about that. Why am I saying that to you? The good news of the gospel is only meaningful if you know the bad news. The good news of the gospel is only meaningful if you know the bad news. And Romans 1:18 through 3 verse 20 is the bad news. Do you want to love Jesus Christ? Are you sitting in that pew right now saying, I want more love for Christ? I am dissatisfied with the amount of love for Christ I have. I want to love Christ more. I want to love Christ with all my heart. I want to love Jesus so much that I need nothing or no one else but him. Do you want that for your life? If you read the bad news in Romans chapter 1 verse 18 to chapter 3 verse 20 and see how sinful you are, and then read the gospel, your love for Christ will grow. The people that love Jesus are the people that know how sinful they are and know how gracious God is in response. The next section in Romans is the gospel, and I want to read it to you. Please turn with me to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting is excluded? By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. You know that in many countries it is illegal to own a Bible. And in many countries, all you get is scraps. All you get is bits and pieces of the Bible. In a country like Iran, anyone who has a Bible on their own, in their own possession, received it from a hand carrier. Some of these people only have scraps of the Bible. And one reason I am so passionate about Bible distribution and Bible smuggling is I believe that this country, our religious freedom is eroding. And unless something changes, a day may come when you and I are not allowed to have our own Bible. And when that day comes, I hope that the believers in other countries will smuggle Bibles into us. Now, what Open Doors does is they contact local pastors, and they have smuggling networks. If America was in that situation, if it was illegal to own a Bible in the United States of America, and Open Doors came into our country and contacted me and said, "We have bits and pieces of the Scripture. What piece do you want for Trinity Baptist Church?" Do you know what I would ask for? Romans 3, 21 through 28. Trinity Baptist Church, memorize this passage. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Romans 3, 21 through 28. This passage is so incredibly important. I've given you some highlights in your notes. Number one, we are justified by God's grace. He owes us nothing. Number two, justification is God's act declaring you righteous in his sight. And number three, how can a person be made right with God? The one who trusts in Christ is officially declared to be right with God, not on the basis of our work, but on the basis of Christ's work on the cross. Trinity Baptist Church, Satan will attack you. Satan will lie to you. Satan will try to defeat you. Satan will try to destroy your faith. Satan will try to keep you from bearing fruit. Satan will try to steal your joy. Romans 3, 21 through 28 will give you the truth you need to live for Jesus. What about Abraham? Was Abraham justified by an undeserved act of God's grace? Or was he justified by works? Romans chapter 4 answers that question. Look with me at chapter 4, verse 1, please. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as to what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justified the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Number four, God's promises are nullified if we must earn them. We would all fail and lose the promise. Praise God that His gospel promises don't depend on me or on you. They depend on Him. Would you agree that we all want to be loved? I want to be loved. I have a very, very strong desire to be loved, and you do too. We all want to be loved. Romans chapter 5 reveals just how much God loves us. Look at it with me, please. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. One will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are loved. Even when we were rebelling against God, He sent His Son to save us. Christ died for us when we were helpless. Christ died for us when we were ungodly. Number 5 in your notes. Since we have been justified, and I explained it there again, justification, declared righteous, cleared of all charges, by faith, we have peace with God. We have been reconciled to Him. Do you realize that? What was separating us from God? Our sin. Jesus paid for it. Jesus took it away. We are reckoned. There's nothing separating us from God anymore because of the work of Christ. Number 6 in your notes. God has poured out His love into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 9, please. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Number 7 in your notes. We are justified through Christ. That is our legal standing with God. Number 8, we are reconciled through Christ. That is our relational standing with God. In the last half of chapter 5, we learn this. Number 9 in your notes. Adam's one sin brought condemnation to us all. Christ's one act of obedience brings justification to all who belong to Him. Have you ever had a mean boss? Have you ever had a boss that is different? Mike McLackey raised his hand. That was funny. You're fired. Have you ever had a mean boss? Besides Mike, have you ever had someone that's really, really difficult to work for? I have, and some of you have had too. And isn't it great when that relationship is broken? Either that person no longer has that job, or you get another job, you get a promotion, they get a promotion, you get transferred. Somehow, the situation changes, and your relationship with that person is broken, and they no longer have authority over you. It is wonderful to be forgiven of our sins. Amen? When I think about justification, the fact that I can't and don't have to earn my legal or relational standing with God, that I get a relationship with God as a free gift of His grace. When I think about the fact that I am going to live forever with God, and my relationship with Him is secure, and my eternal destiny is secure, not based on my works, but on Christ's works. When I think about that, that is so wonderful. But I still have to live down here. And the fact of the matter is that sin ruins my life down here. So now that Paul has talked about justification and Paul has taken care of forgiveness of sin, the question we ask Paul is, do I get any help for my sin problem down here? It's great that salvation takes care of my eternity, but does Christ's salvation, does the salvation I receive in Jesus help me now? Or do I simply have to wait for it in the future? Paul answers that question in chapter 6. Take a look with me, please. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ is raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. For if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we also will be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we've died with Christ, we believe we'll also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death Christ died, He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if you are born again, you will still struggle with sin because we are in this corrupted flesh. But get this, if you're born again, your old relationship with sin is broken. Sin is no longer your master. Number 10 in your notes. Grace gives us the power and privilege to stop serving sin and to live serving God. And we are called and commanded to do so. I've given you a quote from Bible scholar F.F. Bruce in your notes. When we yield to Christ, our inward being is radically transformed. A new creation takes place. We receive a new nature that delights to produce the fruit of the Spirit. The gospel not only saves you from sin in the future, it changes your life right now. Why do we need that change? Why do we need that? Why can't I just get a list of rules? Why can't Jesus just forgive me of my sin and say, okay, here's how I want you to live? Why is that not good enough? We say from this pulpit over and over again, religion alone doesn't work. Why? Why doesn't it work? Romans 7 answers that question. Take a look with me. Verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that we might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the flesh, listen carefully, verse 5, while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. Right there, that's why the law doesn't work. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Number 11 in your notes. We were born corrupted by sin, in bondage to sin, and do not have the power to overcome it. What's God's solution? Number 12. We are spiritually married to Christ. Trinity Baptist Church, we are the bride of Christ. Our union with Christ gives us the power to break free from the sin that destroys us. And so we have number 13 in your notes. Christ is the source of spiritual life. If we are united to him, we will live a spiritually productive life. One of the most amazing things about my trip to Central Asia was meeting those four beautiful believers that we pray for on Monday. And I heard all four of their testimonies. And something I heard several times repeated. All four of these people were raised Muslim. They were born Muslim. They grew up Muslim. And they said, the people that read the Bible are different. And that was so encouraging. The people that read the Bible are different. Rebecca, not her real name, and not her. Rebecca looked right at me and said, I was so interested in the gospel because the people that read the Bible were different, but the people that read Quran were still sinners. That's because all Islam does is provide you with rules. And according to the scriptures, that doesn't help us at all. All Islam does is provide you with rules. But what Jesus does is provide you with spiritual life. I've given you a quick review of Romans 1 through 7 because I wanted to catch you up on it. We haven't been in it for 2 months. Next Sunday, we will resume our study of the book of Romans with Romans 8, 1 through 4. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the book of Romans, and I pray that as we continue to study through it, you would give all of us a knowledge of what we are truly holding in our hand, the Word of God, the Gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.